Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
All right, let's move from venture capital to labor law now. And every Wednesday on our program, we tackle tough business and workplace challenges by bringing in the best experts to provide guidance. So if you have a question, please send it to business@hot1027.co.za and we will line up the right person to help you. Now, this week, we've received a deeply concerning question from a listener who has been struggling with a toxic work environment, which he says has severely affected mental health. After two extended stays in a psychiatric hospital, their doctor has advised that stepping down from work might be necessary. However, their employer has refused a request for medical boarding, leaving them uncertain about their options. By the way, the listener is asking to remain anonymous tonight. But here's my question. What legal rights does an employee have in a hostile work environment? That's what it seems to be. And how does the entire medical boarding process work? And can an employer lawfully refuse? And when applying for a new job, what are the legal obligations around disclosing medical conditions? To answer these important questions, we've brought in Michael Maiso, a lawyer from the law firm Shepston and Wiley. Michael, good evening to you and welcome. So first of all, what legal protections, if any, exist for employees who are experiencing a hostile work environment? This particular one sounds as if it probably is.
Yeah. Hello, Jeremy. Thanks for having me on your show. Yes, look, this issue of hostile working environment is quite a is not uncommon. It's quite a common occurrence in the workplace. And in fact, there's been a recent amendment to the Code of Good Practices, which are directives issued by the legislature giving companies guidance on how to deal with issues. And one of the issues in the Code of Good Practice in respect of harassment is this hostile work environment. And if a hostile work environment is alleged by an employee, it is incumbent upon the employer to conduct an investigation to determine whether there's any merit in that allegation. So the issue will turn on the facts, unfortunately. So it's a little bit difficult to give direct advice in respect to this particular issue. But if the employee has medical evidence to suggest that as a consequence of certain conduct or policies and procedures or whatever is happening in the workplace, as a direct result of that, he is then suffering these psychiatric problems, then obviously there's cause for that investigation to take place. And if the employer does not take that investigation seriously, then they can be held to account in respect of a claim to the Labour Court or to the CCMA on the basis that that there is unfair discrimination in respect of the way in which the employee is being treated in the workplace.
Michael, underpinning all of this, would imagine, is this concept of duty of care as far as an employer is concerned. Is there an actual protocol for what a duty of care actually means?
Well, it would fall under the overarching obligation in terms of the Occupational Health and Safety Act, where an employer is obliged in terms of law to ensure a safe workplace. Now, that is usually with reference to ensuring things don't drop on your head or you know, you trip over a stair or something of that nature. But it doesn't take a great deal of effort to be able to extend this to into that category, to the extent that you would be able to say that your obligation to ensure that your office is not manned by bullies or people creating unreasonable demands, because that in itself has an effect on employees such as this, rendering the workplace unsafe. So there is that you would then rely on. But certainly this Code of Good Practice would make this type of conduct of the toxic work environment to constitute a form of harassment. Mm. That harassment is then outlawed in terms of legislation, and the recourse would then be to the courts or to the CCMA in respect of discrimination.
All right, let's get to the nub of the problem now, as far as our listener is concerned. What is the legal process then for applying for medical boarding, and on what grounds could an employer refuse the request?
Yeah, now there's often a misconception with medical boarding. Medical boarding is conducted, or at least the application would be made, to a third party. It's not to the employer. It will be to the insurer. So it will either be an insurer which is tagged on to the employee's provident fund or pension fund or some other insurance facility that is embodied in the employment contract. So the employer has nothing to do with it. The employer may try and object, but their objection is really neither here nor there, because the medical process, the medical boarding process, is conducted by medical experts, and they would base their decision on the medical evidence placed before them, or they would allow for the employee to be medically assessed by a doctor of their choice in order to verify or to determine the extent of the disability. Now, the fundamental test here to get over, the hurdle to clear, is unfortunately you have to show that the incapacity is of such a nature that it renders you unfit of any form of employment. So it's not employment in this particular category of employment or for this particular employer. It's going to be, I can't work at all. It's got to be a totally severe disability of that nature. There are just some issues. There are some policies that will allow for a temporary disability. But again, that will turn on the extent of the incapacity.
Let's assume that the employer unfairly denies medical boarding, even though it's gone through the medical checks. Is the recourse straight to the CCMA, or is there another way of handling this?
Yeah, it will be straight to court. You see, as I said, the employer can't really get in the way of the process, because the application is made to an independent body, independent of the employer, independent of the employment relationship. It's to the insurer. So the insurer then deals with it. So the employer can't intervene in that particular relationship, and it would be the right that the employee has in terms of that policy. And as I said, that is normally something that is tagged on to the Provident Fund or pension fund that is in place. Now, if that isn't in place, then there may not be any facility for medical boarding. So it's not something that is guaranteed on any employment relationship. It is something that comes about as a consequence of one of the benefits that may be offered during the employment.
Just a quick one in conclusion. When applying for a new job, is there a legal obligation to disclose a pre-existing medical health condition?
That's a grey area, unfortunately. But in most cases, the answer would simply be no, because you have a constitutional right to privacy. But if your non-disclosure is material to the position that you are expected to perform, if you an epileptic, for instance, and you're making an application to fly aeroplanes, for instance, that failure to disclose that medical condition may be deemed to be unreasonable, and there would have been an obligation to disclose.
That's Michael Mesa, a lawyer from Shepston and Wiley. And let me just remind you again, if you have a workplace issue, a financial issue that you'd like us to investigate on your behalf, our email address is business@hot1027.co.za. Michael, thank you very much indeed, and I'm sure we'll talk again.
Hot Business on Hot 1027 with MoneyWeb.